Hey, this is Dr. Mary Ann DiIorio, novelist and life coach, welcoming you to another episode of the Winning with the Word podcast. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2024, and this is episode number 6 in season 2024. This episode is titled An Interview with Dr. Dom DiIorio on the Rapture. I am very excited today to welcome my husband, Dr. Dom DiIorio, on the broadcast. My husband has been studying the end times ever since his retirement 10 years ago, and in my opinion, he has become quite the expert. So welcome, sweetheart, to the broadcast today.
Good morning, and it's an extreme pleasure to be here with the love of my life. I get a kick out of her whenever she refers to me as an expert. I explained that on a previous podcast. In my opinion, an expert is a combination of two words, ex meaning an old has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So we chuckle whenever she refers to me as an old drip under pressure. But be that as it may, I don't consider myself an expert because there's a lot of things I don't know and a lot of things I don't understand. But I have had an enjoyable time studying the field of eschatology, which is the field of the end times.
Well, thank you. You can see, listeners, that you're in for a good time today and a lot of fun. So we are going to focus on the rapture. Many of you have probably heard the term rapture. We're seeing it more and more in different venues today, on YouTube and in conversations. So I'm going to start by asking Dr. Dom, what is the rapture?
Well, the rapture is the English version of a Latin word. The Latin word is raptus, R-A-P-T-U-S, raptus. And it means to take away or to carry off. The Latin word raptus is a Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo. I've been told many, many times that rapture is not found in the Bible, to which I respond, neither is the word Trinity found in the Bible. But rapture is the English version of the Greek word harpazo, and it means to take away, snatch away, or to carry off.
Well, thank you. That's exciting. So why is this rapture a momentous event in human history?
Well, the rapture is mentioned many times in the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians 4:6, it reads, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God. The Christians who have died will rise from the grave. Then together with them, we who are still alive and are here on earth will be caught up in these clouds to meet with the Lord, and we will be with the Lord forever." Matthew 24, verse 36 says, "No one knows the day or the hour," and we'll get into that a little bit later in this conversation. 1 Corinthians 15:52, "In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed." So it's mentioned several times in the Bible that at the time of the rapture, there's going to be an instantaneous occurrence where many people, all born-again Christians, will be changed and put on incorruptible bodies. The dead who have or in the grave will rise. They will rise first. My comment about that is probably the reason they're coming first is because they have 6 feet more to travel than we do. But in any event, they'll rise, and then we'll join with them and meet with the Lord in the clouds.
Well, you know, I can only imagine what that's going to be like for those who are left behind. I mean, all these millions of people suddenly disappearing. Can you imagine that?
Oh, it's going to be mind-boggling. Just think about this. You could be walking with a friend, and if the friend is not saved and you are, suddenly you will disappear. The friend will wonder what happened to you. There's going to be, just consider the fact that you have a unsaved surgeon who's operating on a saved patient. And at the time of the rapture, the patient's going to disappear from the operating room table. Or if it's vice versa, the patient will be there and the surgeon will disappear. It's going to be mind-boggling. Plus, I believe all children will disappear. So if you have an unsaved parent who's going to wonder where their child, what happened to their child, it's going to be total chaos.
It certainly is. You know, think about it. Christian pilots piloting airplanes will disappear in mid-flight. Drivers of cars, train operators. I mean, it's unimaginable. It's just unspeakable. And you know, there's been talk about the explanation that will be given when we all disappear suddenly. Do you want to comment on that, about the aliens?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. If you see the news now, there's some reports that pilots have seen unidentified flying objects. And I believe the story is going to be aliens have taken away those inferior people. The Christians are considered inferior, by the way. The aliens have taken away all the inferior people, and only the super agents will be left behind.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting that our media, our culture has been preparing the world for these aliens for decades now through our movies, our video games. So we have been programmed already to accept this explanation, right? Those who are left behind. So, sweetheart, how close do you think we are to the rapture?
Well, that's a fascinating question. If you look at scripture, Matthew 24:36 says, no man knows the day or the hour. Let me start this part out by saying, I am a firm believer in the fulfillment of the seven feasts of Israel. The seven feasts of Israel are Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. I believe the first four of those feasts were completed with the first coming of Christ. He died on Passover. He was buried unleavened bread. He rose from the dead, first fruits, and then the Feast of Pentecost 50 days later. I believe the second coming is going to be fulfilled on the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is a very interesting feast. It's the only Jewish feast that falls on 2 days. When you look up the date for the Feast of Trumpets, or it's called Rosh Hashanah, you look it up, you will always be given a 2-day period. That's because that is the feast that no man knows the day on which it will fall. I believe when Jesus was speaking with his disciples, he was talking to them in the vernacular, or the talk of the day. And everyone was referring to the Feast of Trumpets as the day that no man knows, because it's a 2-day feast. So I believe that when Jesus said, no man knows the day that he's coming, I think he was telling us, I'm coming on the Feast of Trumpets.
That's fascinating. And I think you're right, too, because pattern is prophecy. And Jesus, as you said, fulfilled all four feasts at his first coming. So why would he not fulfill the last three feasts at the rapture and the time of his second coming?
Now, one thing we don't know for sure is the year. I think the time is the Feast of Trumpets, but we don't know for sure the year he's coming. However, I believe it's very, very, very close. You could throw a few more varies in it if you want to, but I believe it's very, very close. We are what is referred to as the fig tree generation. Jesus said that the generation that sees the fulfillment of all these things will be the last generation. All these things he was referring to includes the time of tribulation. So I believe that we are the generation that will see all these things fulfilled, and I believe we are the last generation.
Well, I think you're right. And Dr. Dom, what world events are occurring right now that indicate that the rapture is very close?
Well, if you look at Israel, for instance, Israel is God's timepiece. Israel has been under attack since its inception. When you look at the happenings in the world today, apostasy, wars, pestilence, earthquakes, people calling right wrong, people calling wrong right, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The word nation comes from the Greek word ethnos. And we get from ethnos, we get our word ethnicity. And we see in our society today, whites against non-whites, non-whites against whites. We see people fighting each other. It's just becoming increasingly difficult. There's increasing lawlessness. We see things happening in the court system that just blow your mind. I read an article the other day about a judge. There's an incident where a father murdered his three children in front of his wife. He murdered his children. He confessed to the police he murdered his children. He said, "I did it. Take me to jail." And the judge said, "You cannot use his confession in a court of law because you didn't read him his Miranda rights." You talk about, this is insanity. This is insanity. So I think we're seeing increasing things in the world today which make me come to the conclusion we're coming really close to the end.
Yes, and the excessive deception. I find it interesting that when the disciples asked Jesus about the end times, the very first thing he said was, "Do not be deceived." What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he said that there will be people coming saying, "I am the Christ," and will lead many astray. There's two ways to look at that sentence. One way is to say someone is to come along claiming that they are the Christ. It's like Joe Blow coming and saying, "I'm the Christ, follow me." And there's crazy people that will follow him, by the way. So he's going to lead, he's going to lead them astray. But I don't think that's many. I think that's occasional. But what I do see happening today are pastors and preachers in the church who are claiming that Jesus is the Christ. They are acknowledging the truth that he is the Christ, but then in their churches, they're accepting homosexuality, they're accepting same-sex marriages, they're accepting a lot of non-biblical things and are leading many astray. I think that's the great apostasy, is when you have preachers and pastors of mainline churches who are accepting non-biblical things as truth.
Yes, that is certainly deception, because people go to these churches thinking that they're sound. And that's why it is so important for us to study the Bible for ourselves. And whenever we listen to a teacher or a pastor, we always must weigh what he or she says against the Word of God. That's the final plumb line, right? So tell us, what will happen to the world after the rapture according to Scripture? What does the Bible say about that?
Well, at the time of the rapture, I said there's going to be such total worldwide chaos that there's going to be calls for someone to try to put things back into order again. There will arise a person who will be very, very charming, have all the answers, able to fix everything, and he'll rise up and eventually take control of the world. This man we know as the Antichrist. And I believe he's going to come across and lead the world into a period of peace and prosperity. There's a seven-year period of time that will occur after the rapture. That seven-year period of time has been referred to as Daniel's 70th week, or the period of tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. There's all kinds of names that it has. But it's a seven-year period of time of what will eventually be the world's most horrible, torture, troubles. It's a period of time that has never been known to man before. It's going to start out very peacefully, but then degenerate into a very horrible, horrible period of time.
So, Dr. Dobb, tell us then, what is meant by the Antichrist? Why is that term used in the Bible?
Well, the term Antichrist is first used in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And he says, if someone claims to be a prophet but does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person has the spirit of Antichrist. Anyone who comes along, Antichrist means against Christ or in place of Christ. Anyone who comes along denying that Jesus is the Christ has the spirit of Antichrist. That individual is not the Antichrist, but it's someone who has the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist will be a person. I believe that person is alive today. No one knows who that person is. I have ideas. I ain't going to tell you what those ideas are because I don't want to be accused of labeling anybody. But no one really knows who that person is.
So we often hear of the term the mark of the beast associated with the Antichrist. What is the mark of the beast?
The mark of the beast will be some sort of either tattoo, implant, barcode, something. I don't know exactly what it is. But it's going to be implanted or put on the right hand or the forehead of anyone who acknowledges that the Antichrist and is God and will dedicate their life to the Antichrist. That's the mark of the beast. No one really knows what this mark is. It's not around yet because the beast isn't around. It hasn't been declared yet. But anyone who takes the mark of the beast will be doomed to damnation.
So you do not want to take the mark of the beast. In fact, you don't even want to be here during the tribulation. And in a little bit, we'll tell you how you can avoid it. And that's my next question to you, Dr. Dom. How can one escape the tribulation?
The only way to escape the tribulation is to be born again. Jesus said in John 3, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You must accept the Lord as your Savior. You must confess your sins. It's a very easy ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and came to the cross to die for your sins. And call on Him for salvation. It's a very easy ABC. But unless you do that before the rapture, you will be subject to the tribulation. I've had people tell me, well, when the rapture occurs, I'll accept the Lord. I mentioned earlier 1 Corinthians that says, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Some translations say in the blink of an eye, but the original says twinkle. The twinkle of an eye is an extremely rapid event. What it is the time it takes for light to enter into the eye, reflex off the retina of the eye, and come back out again. Light travels very quickly. You know light travels 186,000 miles a second. The Earth, if you want to get an idea how fast that is, the Earth at its diameter measures 25,000 miles. Light can go around the Earth more than 7 times in 1 second. That's fast. And anybody that says they're going to wait for the tribulation wait for the rapture before they accept the Lord, there ain't going to be enough time. Because the time it takes for light to travel in the eye, reflex out, and come back again, with light traveling that speed, I did a calculation once, that will take, a twinkle of an eye takes 1/17 of a billionth of a second.
Well, that's astounding. That's really fast. The Bible then tells us that in order to be saved, we have to be born again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But there are many people out there, and perhaps some of you who are listening, who think, well, there are many ways to God. Why do I have to be born again? So my answer would be, the Bible says so. And Dr. Dom, why can we trust that the Bible is truth?
Well, the Bible has been handed down over the centuries as the inspired word of God that has been given to many people to write. The parts of the scripture have been written over thousands of years by many different authors, and they never, ever contradict each other. There has been estimated to be about 25,000 prophecies in the Bible, of which, 2,500, I made a mistake on that, please forgive me. 2,500, not 25,000, 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. And of those 2,500, over 2,000 of them have been fulfilled already. That's an 80% rate of fulfillment. And as we look around at some of the prophecies in the Bible, we see them happening now. We see the wars, the rumors of wars. Just look at rumors of wars. You have China threatening Taiwan. You have Russia threatening America. You have the Palestinians threatening the Jews. You have rumors of wars all over the place. And it's only going to get worse.
Well, you know, the Bible, as you said, has proven truth so far in 80% of the prophecies, because that's about how many have been fulfilled. But the remaining 20% are being fulfilled and will be fulfilled, and they too will come to pass exactly as the Bible predicts. So I want to encourage all of you out there, if you do not yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we urge you to accept him now, because the time is very short. And you know, after we leave this earth, our spirits do not die. They go to one of two places, heaven or hell. The choice is ours, and we make that choice only now while we are still alive. So if you have not yet received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of your saving grace. So I receive you now into my life as my Savior and my Lord. Make of me what you created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, please write to me at drmarianne@marianndiorio.com. I would like to send you a free e-booklet titled After You're Born Again to help you begin your exciting journey with Jesus Christ. Until next time, remember that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and he will help you to keep on winning with the word. And I want to thank my wonderful husband, Dr. Dom DiIorio, for being such a great guest on this podcast. Thank you, honey.
Oh, it was indeed my pleasure, and maybe we can do more in the future.
Lord willing, that would be great. So stay tuned and have a wonderful day.